Hello everyone and welcome back to the Startup Operator Weekly Roundup. The Weekly Roundup is the show for people who want to stay updated with major developments of the Indian startup ecosystem. If you're new to the podcast, please do subscribe and share it with folks you think will enjoy the show. So before we kind of wrap up what the month has been for the Indian startup ecosystem, Roshan, let's hear from you. What do you think?
Hey, it's great to be back. Sorry we couldn't bring you the Startup Operator Roundup last week. We were at an offsite, a lot of drinking, a lot of dancing. But good to be back with an update this week. Last week, I saw that the CEO of Niti Aayog has changed, right? So Mr. Amitabh Kant, after a very illustrious stint, is going to make way for Mr. Parameshwaran Iyer. Mr. Kant is somewhat of a legend, right? All of us remember his Kerala tourism promotion way back when, God's Own Country, that was his campaign. And then he adopted plenty of others, right? I mean, Startup India, Digital India, worked very closely with the technocrats, with the industry and the government. You know, in many ways, India is run by its bureaucracy and it's people like Mr. Kant who make all of the difference, I would say, right? Any policy measure requires their blessing and it's great that he's been able to do that. Mr. Iyer, again, is someone who joins with a very rich background as well. He was formerly the head of the Swachh Bharat Abhiyan, which, as many of you know, has been a stellar success. It's one of the first initiatives that Prime Minister Modi launched in 2014 when he came to power and has built over 10 crore toilets in India, right? So, which is a heck of a great deal from a sanitation perspective. And considering how important that is for health, so it's a phenomenal achievement. Seems to be a little more understated, not the kinds who you would hear off in the media. So all the best for, you know, for whatever's coming up with Mr. Iyer. And we hope that you do great work. Also, it was great to hear the Prime Minister talk about Skyroot, which is the Indian space tech startup in, you know, the Prime Minister's Mann Ki Baat. You know, sometimes I have to pinch myself that, you know, the Prime Minister of the country is referencing a startup in his weekly address to the nation. That's something amazing. Yeah. So, all right, Gunjan, what do we have coming up this week?
All right. So the first topic for this week's roundup is about Zilingo, right? And Zilingo has been in the media since March when Ankiti Bose, who is the co-founder and CEO, was told about a severe accounting irregularity and mismanagement at the company. But recently, both the founders, Ankiti Bose and Dhruv Kapoor, they have come together to make a management buyout offer of the company, as the e-commerce startup is staring at voluntary liquidation. According to the letter which was shared with the investors, there'll be a new investor that'll be coming in who will be infusing $8 million in equity across tranches. And all of Zilingo's subsidiaries, assets, debt obligations, contracts, and key employees across verticals will be bought out by the new company. Now, what is interesting here is even Shailendra Singh was asked to resign back in March, right? And there are a lot of trends which are going on in Twitter, right? And I think the lesser said about it, the better. But it's interesting to see that with a 26.5% stake of Sequoia in Zilingo, how this entire story would pan out. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I have read this story, you know, on off for the last few months. You know, Zilingo has raised about $350 million, which is, again, not a trivial amount, right? And it's kind of like a bad marriage, I would say. And it's good that the parents have come together to sort out issues and to figure a way forward. So it's kind of like a bad marriage, I suppose, you know. Founding a company is hard. There can be many ups and downs. And if you don't have that kind of equation with your co-founder, if you don't have the trust and transparency, things can definitely spiral, especially when you are going through a hyper growth scale, right? And, you know, Zilingo was involved in streamlining what is a very logistics heavy business, right? And when you're streamlining a value chain, with so many moving parts, with so many open ends, there's just so many things that could go wrong. And from what I've read, I think, you know, there was a case of mismanagement on invoices and payment of vendors and so on and so forth. All of this stuff that can be fixed, should be fixed, right? And hopefully this new management also signals to the existing employees that the founders are serious about the company and serious about taking it further. It will be interesting. I mean, a lot of the corporate governance issues seem to come up in these hypergrowth startups. And so I think it's a lesson for other startups to sort of watch themselves as they scale, you know, because things can very quickly spiral out of hand.
But also a few interesting terms, right? Voluntary liquidation, management buyback. And I don't think it's the first time that it's actually happening, right? I mean, usually management buyback happens at a fraction of the company's latest valuation, right? As it offers investors to write off their investment instead of dealing with a long and, you know, a tedious legal battle. And something with that similar thing had happened back in 2019. Right, with Snapdeal, which is one of India's oldest e-commerce companies. The founders, Kunal and Rohit, they had bought back 10% of Snapdeal's share at a valuation which was below $100 million. Right, so what is this and like how does it actually help or, you know, what does it mean?
No, it gives a greater sense of discretion, greater power for the founders, basically, when they buy back shares from the investors and they kind of get out of their way, basically. And Snapdeal is a fantastic story, right? I mean, you know, 2016, 2017, I think they were all but gone. But since then, I mean, they've come back handsomely. So let's hope that Zillingo will be able to turn things around as well.
All right. So last week, Microsoft also announced that for GitHub, it has launched its Copilot AI tool. Now, this is a tool which will help suggest lines of code to developers inside the code editor itself. They had originally teamed up with OpenAI last year to launch a preview of Copilot, but now it is open across all developers. What really makes this interesting is this GitHub Copilot will be able to suggest the next few lines of codes as developers write out their, you know, lines in an IDE like Visual Studio, NeoVim, JetBeans, etc. And this has been a huge hit. I mean, me coming from a computer science background, can testify that how easy it is for me not to think, okay, these are the various other statements which are coming. More than 1.2 million developers have already signed up to use this program in the past 12 months. And it will remain a free tool for verified students and maintainers of popular open source projects. Microsoft has invested close to $1 billion into OpenAI. And this research firm is now led by former Y Combinator president, Sam Altman, who led the creation of GitHub Copilot. We talked to a lot of engineers in the podcast. I think definitely should be asking this question to them, that how much easier would their lives get now?
Yeah. Again, I have to pinch myself when I hear these things, right? I mean, as a 90s kid, to hear about Microsoft investing in open source projects is, I never thought I'd see the day, right? But fantastic. I mean, they kind of recognize the cultural zeitgeist in some sense, right? And they do realize that developer productivity is worth its weight in gold. And I think all of this is basically to drive Azure adoption as well, right? But what an acquisition it's been, you know. GitHub, they probably paid about $7.5 billion 3 or 4 years back. It's worth, I think, maybe two times or more of what they paid right now. I've seen the demo of Copilot and it's amazing. It's spellbounding.
It's like Figma for coders, right? I mean, like...
Yeah, it's even better. It's really, really good. And... at some level, I feel, you know, much as we say that AI is going to automate and replace rote jobs like driving and cleaning and those kind of things, I mean, I think the development front as well, I mean, things are not really far off from when a lot of this can be automated, right? I already feel that, you know, some of this low-code, no-code stuff will perhaps kill SaaS at some point of time. It's phenomenal times, I would say.
Yeah, and last year also, I think Google's DeepMind, right, they revealed an AI system named AlphaCode, which is designed to write computer programs at a competitive level. AlphaCode was tested against CodeForces, which is a competitive coding platform, and it achieved an estimated rank, placing it within the top 54% of human coders.
The thing is that, I mean, if you wrote any code, even if it was like simple front-end code like HTML or CSS, way back when, let's say 15, 20 years back, you know, you will appreciate how far we've come in terms of like frameworks and in terms of all of these platforms and whatnot, right? I mean, today you can get something up and running in a matter of minutes and hours. It wasn't the case about 10 or 15 years back. And the standards have evolved so quickly, right? And this growth is always exponential in nature. It's not linear, right? So I really feel over the next 5-10 years, I mean, a lot of things will be, you know, automated. A lot of things will be AI based, right? We've all seen videos of what GPT-3 can do, right? On Twitter, etc. Yeah, so we're going to see some really interesting times up ahead.
Okay, so moving on to the next bit of news, which is a new unicorn that entered the club last week, which is Lead Squared. They secured an investment of $153 million from Westbridge Capital in a Series C round. Their Lead Squared had previously raised $32 million, which was led by Gaja Capital in 2020, and $3 million of Series A, which was led by Stakeboat Capital in 2019. Now, one thing that really stood out for me when I was reading about this is more than 90% of Lead Squared's revenue comes out of India, and especially for a SaaS company working in the sales and distribution space. It's kind of unheard of because US is considered to be the largest market for it, but 90% revenue coming from India, having a $1 billion valuation. What's your take on that?
Yeah, they've been trying to expand to the US, I think, for more than a couple of years now. And yeah, they're at the 25 plus million revenue mark. What's interesting is that this is the second round of funding in perhaps a little more than a year, I would say, or a little less than a year. It's a huge space, right? I mean, CRM software is the largest and fastest growing software market in the world. You know, something like $50 billion annual, right? Plenty of Gartner, Forrester studies, you know, to show you that it's indeed a very big market and it's soon getting disrupted. And yeah, I mean, it's players like Lead Squared and the likes that are pioneering the change, I would say, right? So yeah, large enough market, growing business, and which is why, I mean, you're kind of seeing the fundraise basically. It's happened at an interesting time when the markets are down and when people are a little more pessimistic, right? So which shows you that, you know, SaaS is not slowing down, right? I mean, there is still a lot of action left, I would say.
But also, I mean, considering how the past few weeks had been in the market, a 10x valuation, something interesting to see how this goes. All right. So last week, we also saw a couple of acquisitions happening in this in the Indian startup ecosystem. Pine Labs has announced that it had acquired Setu. This is Pine Labs' third acquisition in this year. And Setu's use cases span a variety of digital ecosystems, and which includes the likes of Aadhaar, eSign, BBPS bill payment, payment collection integration, so WhatsApp, and FastTrack payment collection as well. Nykaa is also in late stage talks to acquire local discovery and e-commerce platform Little Black Book, or LBB as it is popularly known. Nykaa is also in the race to acquire Times Internet owned Men's XP. Zomato has reached an agreement to acquire quick commerce platform Blinkit, which was previously called Grofers, for $568 million. The acquisition marks consolidation in this, you know, cash-guzzling quick commerce space. And what is interesting, especially about Zomato's acquiring Blinkit, is this is almost the price, right? $568 million is a 43% discount on Blinkit's last valuation, when Zomato had invested $100 million for a billion-dollar valuation in the same company. So
yeah, if you just go back a couple of roundups back, right? I mean, you'll hear me say that you're going to see a lot of consolidation and you're going to see a lot of acquisitions coming up. Things are cyclical, right? Every time there's a downturn, this is kind of what happens, right? You're not able to make your next round of funding and, you know, you're running out of money and, you know, incidentally, there'll be someone else out there who can scoop you up, right? But these are a couple of very, very good acquisitions, I would say, especially the Setu and the Pine Labs acquisition. It happened a while back. I think the official announcement came out last week, right? Setu is doing some wonderful work. You know, they help merchants and other, basically other entities adopt the latest fintech innovation through APIs, right? Very, very quick and easy to use. They can set it up in a matter of hours, if not few days, right? And it's really phenomenal. I mean, we've been referencing this Angela Strange article on how every company will be a fintech company, right? This phenomena of embedded finance or embedded insurance is really going to kick in, you know, and it's going to be a very code-driven, API-driven sort of a revolution. And Setu is at the forefront of it. Considering that, you know, Pine Labs is one of the biggest payment providers in Southeast Asia right now, you know, having expanded even to the Middle East and so on, I think it makes perfect sense for them to move beyond, you know, payments to offer financial services. And the APIs are, again, like a tip of the spear for them, right? So, yeah, very, very interesting acquisition. Nykaa acquiring LBB, I think, you know, we've talked about this content, community and commerce phenomena, right, which is coming together. And you're going to see similar things happen all around, right? I mean, we saw the Mom's Company, for example, being acquired. We saw plenty of other acquisitions.
Popexo also.
Correct, right? So I think this is around the same lines, right? It'll give Nykaa, you know, the optionality to vertically integrate some of the stuff that they're right now selling, increase margins on a few products, and also get a few other demographics, you know, interested, right? Although I do feel that there is a big enough overlap between Nykaa's own audience and, you know, LBB's. But yeah, this is, again, bound to happen. This is definitely bound to happen. The Zomato Blinkit story is pretty interesting, I would say, right? I mean, I don't know why they would acquire Blinkit, because especially as a public company right now, I mean, it's so much of stress, right? I mean, there's, you've already seen how Zomato stock has taken a battering, and for them to acquire another loss-making entity, I'm not sure if, you know, the stock market is going to treat them kindly. Blinkit is losing money hand over fist. I think they're probably losing 60 crores or something every month, right? I mean, I could be wrong about the numbers. You might have to check that, Gunjan. But I guess it fits in the sense that, okay, the tech is shared, the logistics and the delivery is shared, right? The front end is shared. All of those things are shared. And, you know, Zomato will have another option to increase order value. Having invested already in Blinkit earlier, I think this is an option for them to scoop them up at a lesser valuation, I would say, right? So yeah, that's that.
So on this Zomato Blinkit point, we were discussing Zomato going public. We were discussing that Swiggy is the main competitor for it. And Swiggy has expanded. It has Swiggy Genie. It has Swiggy Instamart. And of course, the food delivery business. Do you think this is just Zomato's play to enter the grocery services as well? Because if I remember correctly, Zomato is already providing food delivery for B2B, like to restaurants and all. Not only the listing, they're providing food delivery for them. So maybe something on that this acquisition could be about.
Yeah, see, the whole game with the consumer internet, right? I mean, is to increase the lifetime value and reduce the customer acquisition cost, basically. And so Zomato or Swiggy and the likes will have to find many different ways to service their existing customer base, right? And they have to increase that order value from 250 to 400 and beyond, right? And these are interesting ways they can do it and launch premium subscription services and so on, right? As Blinkit has for 15-minute delivery and all. Yeah, I mean, these are things that they have to try and do in order to, you know, stay in the game, I would say.
All right. So in other news from the week, neo banking startup Stashfin has bagged a $270 million of Series C funding in a mix of both equity and debt round, which was led by Uncorrelated Ventures, Fascinara Capital and Abstract Ventures. Stashfin, whose client base is only in India currently, will be using this fresh capital to expand across Southeast Asia and other markets. Tea cafe chain Chaios pocketed $53 million in a new funding round, which was led by Alpha Wave Ventures with participation from all other existing investors. This capital will be used for tech enhancement, hiring, and store expansions as it plans to add 100 stores by the end of this year. In other major transactions of the week, IFC-backed B2B food and agri-tech platform Waycool raised $40 million. EV charging infra startup Static pocketed $25.7 million. And fintech firms WeRise and Finbox secured $15 million each. So this looks like it has been a great week for fintechs. And it's also good to see Chaios in the mix.
It's definitely been an interesting week, I would say, for fintechs. Earlier, I think the Payment Council of India had written to the RBI requesting the regulator to basically treat prepaid payment instruments or wallets with KYC done as equal to bank accounts, right? I mean, the RBI had earlier mentioned that, you know, loading credit lines into wallets is not permitted, right? Which again threatened the, you know, business model for a number of fintechs, right? I mean, a lot of companies like Slice, Uni and PayU and CreditB and all of these folks would have been affected. So yeah, I mean, that had happened. And overall, I think there seems to be a little bit of a back and forth there between PCI and RBI. The Digital Lenders Association also is involved in a few of these regulatory back and forths that are happening. But definitely interesting times for sure.
Okay, I think I will let you cover this. Jason Lemkin had put out a tweet saying, a lot of VC advice to struggling companies is cut marketing. But in SaaS, cut sales. Revenue suffers this quarter or next. Cut marketing. Revenue suffers 3 to 6 quarters out. Maybe the right trade-off if cash is very tight. Probably wrong trade-off otherwise. And I think you had a take on that. So can you take us through that?
Yeah, it actually co-tweeted Jason to say that, you know, you should not cut marketing dollars unless you absolutely are sure that you want to slow down momentum, right? Unless you're not able to serve your customers right now and you really want to take a step back to build up things, right? Which again is the rarest of rare occasions. Otherwise, the more prudent thing to do would be to sweat every lead or every opportunity that you get. Really get on all of your sales calls, do these cadences, and you'll figure out 100 or 200 things that can be different at a minimum, right? Because even in the most tightly clocked sales and marketing teams, there is always room for improvement. And I think that's a way better lever to operate and optimize rather than straight away just jump into cutting down marketing dollars, I would say, right? Be prudent about your expenses. Obviously, you have to check every line item, stress test everything if you really need it. But I would say, I mean, the first place to look would be to you know, really squeeze the juice out of everything that you already have right now.
So it'll be interesting to see all the sales and marketing folks who are listening to this podcast. If you can drop in your views in the comments, that'll be great. It'll be fun to see how that turns out. Okay, so to wrap up this week's roundup, Roshan, let's talk about some of the conversations you have upcoming this week. One is with Pushkar of Drip Capital, and the second is with Modit of Dozy.
So it's been a while since we had a health tech startup on the podcast, and I'll be super keen to understand from Modit of Dozy how they're building their patient monitoring system and so on. Especially, I think during COVID, we all saw what remote care can do for us. So yeah, I mean, that would be an interesting conversation. Well, I had to talk to Pushkar of Drip Capital ages ago, but that conversation didn't happen. Hopefully, you know, this week, I mean, I'll get to talk to him about how they're solving for credit in all of these emerging markets. They operate in Mexico as well. So Mexico, India, and the US. And the market dynamics are similar in some regards, but also very different in other regards. So it'll be interesting to understand how he's running that business, right? They have over $1 billion, I think, disbursed already in terms of loans to SMEs. So we have two very good conversations coming up.
Yep, we'll be looking forward to that. And folks, if you have any questions which you would like us to ask these founders, do tweet them to us at Operator Startup. Or drop a message on LinkedIn. Our LinkedIn handle is The Startup Operator. And this was it. A great way to end the quarter after the way it started. We had seen some serious slowdowns in funding, but now we're wrapping up with a lot of acquisitions, unicorns, and other large size checks. We're excited for what's in store for the next month. And let us know what you think of the episode. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And in the description, you'll also see our WhatsApp subscription link, so that you can get updates delivered straight into your inbox.
So, you know, if you go back, I think 4 or 5 weeks back, I did mention that all of the funding and acquisition activity is going to heat up in about 5-6 weeks, right? So I guess we have about a week or so left, and we're already seeing that, you know, the action is starting to increase. So there's that.
Folks, on another side note, if you want to know about what the future holds for you, you can drop Roshan a personal line as well.
Absolutely. All predictions being charged at $10 a piece.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. We'll see you again next week, and have a great start of the week ahead.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week ahead.